Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We've been having the conversation all show long off of the Monday Night Meltdown about Baker Mayfield and whether or not he's the long-term answer for the Cleveland Browns. We want you to chime in on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. The number is 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. But Gojo, right now, we got to go out to the Goodyear hotline and bring on ESPN Cleveland's very own Aaron Goldhammer. And Aaron, I guess I got to ask the question, what's the sentiment of the fan base as far as Baker Mayfield is concerned and whether or not he's the long-term answer for the Browns at quarterback?
Well, this is complicated. You know, back before the season started, guys, Browns fans wanted to give Baker and Emily Mayfield their own money to stay in Cleveland. They wanted to pull up their own Brinks trucks and dump the cash on their front lawn. The Browns did not give him the contract extension. They wanted to see more. Week over week over week, as Baker's play has continued to descend, and now I think he's, you know, in the conversation, most disappointing player, worst quarterback in the league this year. He submarined the Browns' season. I mean, really, with average quarterback play, they'd have won this division. I think now the majority of fans, I don't mean to speak for everybody, but I think the majority of fans feel like, you know, last night might have been the last time you ever see Baker Mayfield in the Browns uniform.
Aaron, how much of that falls on Kevin Stefanski for not making a change at that position if this is the way it had been trending for so long?
Yeah, this is complicated and a lot, I think. I don't understand what Kevin Stefanski was doing this year. If Baker was really that injured, then he shouldn't have been playing. And maybe then Case Keenum, who's a serviceable backup and took the Vikings to the NFC Championship game a couple years ago, could have done something with the Browns, and then Baker would be in a much better position than where he is now. If Mayfield really isn't that hurt, and this is all just a narrative to try to put him in a better light, then obviously, you know, we know what the Browns think of him. But what I don't get, guys, he played pretty well last year. Like, we know this guy doesn't totally stink. We know he's not a giant bust. We know he's better than Sam Darnold, right? So what went wrong between last year and this year? The injury is the thing you have to point to most predominantly.
Aaron, one of the things that was a little bit of an eyebrow raiser for me was in the wake of the OBJ situation and him ultimately being released by the team, you heard opinions from players in that locker room that felt the way about the organization moving on from OBJ and siding with Baker Mayfield. So I want to know where the locker room is in terms of Baker Mayfield being their guy moving forward.
I think this was complicated already because Baker does so many commercials, you know, and he's so popular and he makes so much money off the field and he's got such an abrasive personality at times that I always think his locker room dynamic has been complicated. But going toe-to-toe with Odell, I mean, Baker has admitted this in interviews. He keeps referring to fixing distractions inside and outside of the building. And my guess is, you know, if you ask the Browns wide receiving core what they think of Baker Mayfield or the offensive line, if you got him over a couple beers or the defense that has played much better in the last 5 or 6 weeks, I'm not sure it would be such a pretty picture. One other thing I want to mention here, you know, Jarvis Landry is one of the Browns team leaders. He gave that contagious speech a few years ago on Hard Knocks and one of the guys that really helped change the culture. He used to speak to the media every single week during the season. Since Odell was let go, and remember Jarvis and Odell are good friends going all the way back to Baton Rouge and LSU, he has not spoken to the local media here in a Browns capacity one time, and I think by not speaking, he's telling you a lot.
Ken Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Aaron Goldhammer from ESPN Cleveland on the Goodyear Hotline. Aaron, how much of this is exacerbated by the success you guys are watching the Cincinnati Bengals have with Joe Burrow this season?
Yeah, it hurts. You know, the Browns had the number one pick in the draft, Mike, and they took a 5'11 kid from a spread offense. And the Bengals had the number one pick in the draft, and they took a 6'4 strapping quarterback who grew up in Athens, Ohio, to be their guy. So it's not just Burrow. It's also like, what kind of quarterback has been successful in this division before? Let's set Lamar Jackson aside. He's one of a kind. You're never going to find anybody who's in any way like him. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is from Ohio, right? He's big. He can take the pounding of the AFC North. And so, yes, do I think Browns fans have jealousy of what's going on in Cincinnati? Absolutely. The Bengals this year are the Browns from last year. They've caught lightning in a bottle. Their offense has gotten hot, and they're a fun team to watch. The Browns are unwatchable. Guys, I don't know about you. That game felt like it took about 7.5 hours.
Yeah, it did.
Did you stay up and watch the end of that? Be honest. Was your TV on ESPN at the end of that game?
I was on ESPN, too, because I was watching the Manning cast. I was interested to see how they handled the Aaron Rodgers interview. I wasn't watching it for the entertainment value from the game.
Night one of The Bachelor's new season was on the rose ceremony going on at the same time. It's a big deal.
There you go.
Aaron, spinning this thing forward in 2022, what are the Cleveland Browns going to do at the quarterback position? We know Baker Mayfield is having the surgery. How likely is it that they bring in some competition for Baker for that starting job?
Well, I think Baker has played his last game as a Brown, so I don't even think this is about competition. I think that he's just toast, in part because I think the Browns are ready to move on, and in part because I think he wants a change of scenery, which I think you'll see that take place here over the course of the next couple of weeks. So then the Browns have to come up with a better answer. And my guess is, guys, it'll come from one of two places. Now, the draft thing is really dicey this year. The Browns could end up with a top 10 pick. But there are no top 10 quarterbacks in this draft, I don't think. So then, can you get in for Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson? I'm sure Aaron Rodgers was watching that game last night thinking, wow, I really want to go to Cleveland. Well, he was with Peyton and Eli. And I think what's most likely is there's a second tier of guys that come available in the Derek Carr, Matt Ryan conversation, and I would bet on one of those guys being the starting quarterback of the Browns next year.
Going to be a very interesting 2022 already for the Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield will not start this coming weekend against the Bengals, will likely have that surgery on that non-throwing shoulder, and I'm sure Aaron Goldhammer and company over at ESPN Cleveland will have plenty to talk about. Aaron, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
You know, if you think that cookie and mayo is gross, Gojo, I once had to eat horse manure when the Browns drafted Baker, so there's nothing worse than that.
Aaron, I did want to bring that up. Like, when you watched me eat the mayonnaise this weekend, were you thinking, amateur?
I was proud of you. I was proud of you. And I want everybody to know, the highlight of bowl season used to be the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl. Now, I think the Duke's Mayo Bowl is the best bowl there is.
Aaron, I didn't say it. You said it, but I wholeheartedly agree with you on that one. We are here to spread the Duke's Mayo Bowl propaganda to anyone and everyone who will listen. Take that, Australia and Dionne Warwick out here hating right now. Hammer, we'll talk to you soon. All right, buddy.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Aaron Goldhammer from ESPN Cleveland, who, yes, did one time have to eat horse manure after losing. I forget what bet he even lost. But, Chris, that's probably where I draw the line just as a human being. But I respect him for having no boundaries and understanding content rules.
Yeah, I think he just told us, though. It was Baker Mayfield being drafted first overall by the Cleveland Browns. I think that was the bet that he ultimately ended up losing. And so I don't know, Gojo. I'm usually a man of my word. But when it comes to something like that, paying off that bet, let me tell you what I ain't going to do.
Oh, Chris, he fought it like the plague. Like, we had to track him down on this one. It was basically our mission ordained by God to make sure that that man ate poop.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to trust anything coming out of that mouth any moving forward.
That is for damn sure. Even though we'd like you to trust him because, man, he just said that Baker Mayfield played his last snap as a
How round. About that? I mean, that was one right there that I was shocked. I didn't believe that he was so convicted in saying that Baker Mayfield took his last snap as a Cleveland Brown.
I thought
that is a shocker.
Very interesting that he said he thinks you'll see that desire for a change of scenery start to bear out here over the coming months, which begs the question, which team out there in the NFL, if you are an NFL team who's going to need a quarterback this offseason, would you be willing to buy low on Baker Mayfield? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier. With more than 30 coverage options available, Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Coming up next, though, we're done eating poop and talking about who's going to be the Browns' next quarterback here. Why one college football team who suffered a massive setback this weekend may have to start to get ready for one more on the way. That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
George, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by one, good! A home run! It's all over the Red Sox! I still believe it!
Celebrating the greatest moments in sports for the past 30 years, this is ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We've been having a conversation all show long about Baker Mayfield and whether or not he should be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns in 2022. We want you to weigh in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get on board on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. But Gojo, we got to talk about a coach that was in the college football playoff that won his league, but could be on the move this coming offseason.
Yeah, so Bruce Feldman over the Athletic just posted an article saying that Jim Harbaugh, coming off of his most successful season as Michigan's head coach, according to rumblings at the Athletic, said that there is both interest from the NFL side and at Michigan that Harbaugh might be tempted to leave the Wolverines and possibly return to the NFL. One source said this week, "I think it's real." It said the Raiders head coaching job might be tough for him to say no to given his ties to the organization where he started his coaching career in 2003 and the fact that he had a solid quarterback and Carr in place. He's friends with Mark Davis, their owner. They also mentioned the Bears as another potential option here. But, Chris, coming off again, I cannot stress enough, his most successful season, bar none, he slays the Ohio State Giant in the Big Ten East. He makes their debut in the college football playoff, albeit an unceremonious exit, which, man, who in the college football playoff era hasn't had one of those? Are you stunned that this is the timing of this news?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by it just because you're talking about winning your division and winning your league and then being in the CFP as the number two ranked team when the playoffs kicked off. It just seems like with the season that he's had, he would have earned the cachet. He would have earned a little bit more leash with Michigan in terms of his job security. It just feels like the program is in a state right now where it's rolling. And he has the potential to attract a lot of guys. You're going to see some of the names that he had on that defense get called very early in the NFL draft. It seems like Jim Harbaugh has finally been able to get over that hump and get the Michigan program to where they thought he would take it when they initially hired him. So it just doesn't seem like it's the time that he would leave that program, knowing that he's an alum and this was supposed to be a dream job for him, especially when you consider the control he has, the autonomy that he has to run the program, and then also knowing how his tenure as an NFL coach ended in turmoil out there in San Francisco with him going back and forth with then-general manager Trent Baalke. So it just doesn't seem like it's the right time. And then when you consider the opportunity that's being floated, being the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, let's face it, even though the Raiders have the potential to be a playoff team, you're talking about inheriting a job where you have the third best quarterback in your division behind Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert. I don't know if that's necessarily where you want to live as a head coach in the National Football League, especially one that has the kind of options that Jim Harbaugh does.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chris, I'm with you. My first reaction to all of this was just what you said. Like, there's a difference in going back and coaching at your alma mater and the ties and the feelings. Like, those are years in the making. And to get a chance to be the man at your alma mater where you played quarterback and you've come back and they wanted to run you out of town last year, which could be some of the feelings baked into this that we have to consider. But my mind first immediately went to, well, all right, I think the price just went up after this year, right? Like, Jim Harbaugh signed that extension that basically took his salary down. He made about $8 million in 2020. He's making now, until 2025, about $4 million a year with almost $3.5 million of incentives built into that contract. He gets big payouts if he wins the Big Ten, if he wins the college football playoff, if he wins the Big Ten East, and even makes it to the college football playoff, some of which he cashed in on this season. And my first thought was, all right, well, he looked around and saw what happened with Mel Tucker at Michigan State, what happened with James Franklin at Penn State, and said, all right, these guys just got unholy raises. I beat everybody, sans Mel Tucker, but obviously that didn't matter to the committee or anyone else, and I managed to win all of this. Clearly, I'd be in line for a payday, but between what we saw from Bruce Feldman, Chris, what I'm seeing from Stephen Godfrey over at Split Zone Duo and some other reporters here, like, this seems to actually be something that's pretty real in a way that stuns me based on all that.
Well, I mean, I guess in referring to what you were talking about, yeah, there's nothing like having your name floated in NFL hiring circles and hiring cycles to bump your pay in the college ranks. I mean, we've seen it happen. And so when you start to look around the landscape of the Big Ten with Mel Tucker and James Franklin getting those raises, and James Franklin in particular, because you're talking about him having that unholy buyout where he's going to get 8 million times the amount of years he's got left on his contract if Penn State wants to fire him, I'm sure that Jim Harbaugh would like some of that job security coming off of the type of season that he just had with his team. So I think it has to be more about that, and that's why if you're Jim Harbaugh or his representation, you don't mind this being out there because this puts more pressure on the AD and on the administration in order to get something done this offseason that makes you feel a little bit better about staying put at your alma mater.
Yeah, Chris, after what we saw this season, a year where Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to go to take the LSU job, Lincoln Riley and everything that happened, I can't rule it out at this point, right? You mentioned his last tenure in the NFL, which also included a Super Bowl appearance, which also was a different Jim Harbaugh. Like, we've heard all about how this guy's a little bit less of a jackhammer than the one that was around in NFL circles then, than the one that was coaching in college then. And so maybe all of that takes a guy who's one of the few college coaches that's been able to navigate that jump successfully. You can say a lot of things about Jim Harbaugh. That guy knows how to jumpstart a program, college or NFL. He's proven that out on multiple stops. And so if this starts to happen, the other interesting side effect to all of this, if this was real, if Jim Harbaugh really did jump back to the NFL, man, oh man, Cincinnati fans who thought they made it out of the weeds and got to keep Luke Fickell are going to be nervous. Man, Iowa State fans who thought they were going to make it out of this year with Matt Campbell, who we know Michigan's been looking at for a long while. When Michigan was 2-4 during 2020, all of them up in maize and blue, we're looking at Matt Campbell over at Iowa State with some of those rose-colored glasses. So I think this is going to be very interesting, the ripple effects to all of this. And again, we'll wait and see here. But Bruce Feldman over at The Athletic saying that Jim Harbaugh might be tempted to leave Michigan and head back to the NFL. Good thing we'll be talking to our friend Jason Fitz, co-host of Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio, coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern, lifelong diehard Raiders fan. We'll see what Jason knows. But coming up next, we got to look back. Because we just finished week 17, and we still have another week of football because we now have a 17-game regular season, but we still got to put a bow on the week that was, the top five from the NFL after this word from Wendy's. All right, guys. Every day is game day at Wendy's. The game is choosing a better breakfast, and it's easy to win at Wendy's with heavy hitters on the roster like the sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant and the bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant. So if you're looking to score the best breakfast in the game, it's got to be Wendy's breakfast, the official breakfast of the NCAA. Choose wisely, choose Wendy's, available at participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours only. The NFL Top 5 from Week 17 next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Gojo, we were just talking about Harbaugh, and we got somebody on the Dr. Pepper call-in line that wants to chime in. So let's go to John in Wisconsin. John, you're on Canny and Golic Jr.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, you were talking about with Jim Harbaugh. Doesn't Chicago seem to make more sense for them, for Jim Harbaugh, in going back to the team that he was at? And them in the need for a quarterback's coach in, to have for Justin Fields.
Listen, John, I tend to agree. Like, if we're going to grade and ask what the better job is, then I would certainly say at Chicago. They do currently have a head coach, although we don't see that being the case in the long term here. But, Chris, I would say objectively, they've got their quarterback. They believe the future in Justin Fields, a guy Jim Harbaugh got a damn good look at when he beat him 2 years in a row at Michigan. And certainly, I think just overall, what's been a more competent organization, at least historically here for the Raiders, a lot more in flux with that roster, specifically what you're going to be beyond this year with Derek Carr at the helm.
No doubt about it. And then you also got to factor in the person that's buying the groceries as well with their general manager, Mike Mayock, in place. With Chicago, it seems less likely that you're going to have to deal with that because if they're firing Matt Nagy, they're probably firing their general manager, Ryan Pace, too. And if Jim Harbaugh is at the top of the McCaskey family's list, then he's probably going to have some influence as to who his general manager is going to be as well. So it just seems like it's a better fit. It's clearly a better division to be in. At some point, Aaron Rodgers is going to fall off. The Minnesota Vikings are a mess. The Detroit Lions are a mess. So it just seems like you're in a position to be competitive early on, and you have an opportunity to take control of this division a couple of years down the line when the Green Bay Packers move on from A-Rod. So it just seems like this is the better job. This job has more upside when we're comparing the Bears and the Las Vegas Raiders.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We will get to more of that situation surrounding Jim Harbaugh and the potential of him heading to the NFL. But in the meantime, we are at the end now, after Monday Night Football last night, of Week 17 in the NFL. We get a Week 18 this year, but before we get there, uncharted territory, we got to take a look back at the top five of the week that was.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
Number 5.
All right, the top five of the NFL week that was. Chris, number five, I got to start off by showing a couple of big boys love. It's a crowded field for the good this week, headlined by a couple of big boys getting after it here. First off, shouts out to Eric Decker, the Detroit Lions left tackle, for actually getting in the end zone in their game this past weekend here. While all that glittered was not gold for the Lions overall, on a drive where they threw another incomplete pass to an offensive lineman, Eric Decker sealed the deal for them. And Chris, I'm just thoroughly enjoying the fact that more NFL teams, excuse me, Taylor Decker, Eric Decker.
Yeah, I was
the
about to say, he looks so smooth though, Gojo. That's why you said Eric Decker, because Eric Decker is a receiver. Taylor Decker looks so smooth catching the touchdown pass, you thought it was Eric, and he'd been retired for 3 or 4 years.
Extra thick skill on this one, getting in the end zone. But Chris, it didn't end there. Garrett Bradbury, the center for the Minnesota Vikings, on a tip pass in their game this weekend, recorded what I saw many people calling the immaculate thickception. Him going and fingertip grabbing that ball off the ground, scampering for a gain on the play, it certainly didn't count for a score. It certainly didn't help the Vikings win. But Chris, it will certainly live in my heart forever.
And listen, this goes against everything I believe in because I'm a defensive lineman, but I got to give Garrett Bradbury some props. Like, he is one of the most athletic offensive linemen that you're going to find in the National Football League. So it does not surprise me in the least bit that he was able to come up with that play on Sunday. Not a surprise at all. Unfortunately, his team got his head kicked in, but that's another story for another day. But shout out to Garrett Bradbury for being one of the lone bright spots for the Minnesota Vikings in that game last Sunday.
Number four.
Number four, I will venture over to your side of the football on defense, Chris, and give some love to Robert Quinn, who this weekend set the Bears' single-season sack record in their 29-3 win over the Giants. Quinn now has 18 sacks on the season. He took down the record set by Hall of Famer Richard Dent back in 1984 with 17.5. He got this sack, Chris, taking down Mike Glennon. According to Chris Long, his former teammate with the then St. Louis Rams, he also broke the St. Louis Rams single-season sack record, sacking Mike Glennon. I haven't checked that with anyone else because I trust Chris Long, but if true, very interesting anecdote.
No doubt about it. So Mike Glennon being a part of Robert Quinn's legacy in a footnote to it as well. But in this situation, Gojo, it's got to be more impressive to break the Chicago Bears single-season sack record than the St. Louis Rams, now Los Angeles Rams, sack record, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know they're both
storied
franchise. Yeah, yeah, but the Bears are known for defense. And you're talking about breaking Richard Dent's record. So you got to give him props for being able to pull that off. And then coming off of the season that he had last year, where he was in the single digits with his sack total, and it, of course, getting a bag in free agency, it's nice to see Robert Quinn have that kind of bounce back this year with the Bears.
Number three.
Kenny Angola Jr., top five from the NFL. Number three, Jason Fitz's lifelong diehard beloved Las Vegas Raiders going out and getting what I thought was one of the wins of the weekend. They take down what had been the most dangerous team in the NFL in a lot of people's mind, in the Indianapolis Colts. They got a 23-20 road win that keeps their playoff hopes alive. And now, Chris, apparently they can entertain thoughts and possibilities of Jim Harbaugh potentially being their next head coach.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The Vegas Raiders are in a win-and-end game against the Los Angeles Chargers, which is an incredible accomplishment given all this team has been through throughout the course of this season. So you got to give Derek Carr and the leadership in that locker room a lot of credit for being able to deal with all of the things that they had going on this season. And so for them to come up big in Indy, getting a huge road win to keep their playoff hopes alive, got to give them much respect for being able to do that. Now, Indy, I'm going to tell you this, Indy better make sure that they win that game against Jacksonville this upcoming weekend. Mm. Could you imagine if you're talking about that team being on the outs and losing that game against Jacksonville to keep them out of the playoffs? That would be a collapse of epic proportions given some of the wins that we've seen them have of recent. So, Indy, Carson Wentz, it's time for you to step up and earn that first-round draft pick that they shipped to Philly for you.
Coming up next Tuesday on First Take.
Number two.
This one's amazing to me, Chris. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals got a week on the road in Dallas. Kyler Murray is now 9-0 at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Between high school, where he won multiple state championships and one of the most historically great Texas high school football careers of all time, he won two Big 12 championships there in college and now has gone on to continue to win there in the NFL. I believe now 3-0 in the NFL in that building. Chris, I don't know what's got in the water down there. Kyler must just love going home to Texas, but he shows up and balls out and got the Cardinals a big-time, I think, slump-busting win down the stretch of this season.
Yeah, I mean, Kyler Murray is a Texas high school legend, and so for him to be able to come back there and put his stamp on that game in that fashion, which ends up being a really big game for the Arizona Cardinals because it keeps them alive for the division race in the NFC West. Like, that was a huge performance. That was big time. And, I mean, you know it. You know this, Gojo, from being around high-level football. Big-time players make big-time plays in big games. And that was Kyler Murray on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys defense that's been one of the more dominant units in all of football.
Number one.
We had no other options for number one. There was simply no choice. If I could give this to the entirety of the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend, I would, but I'm going to whittle it down to Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase, the connection that lit us all up this weekend. How much, though, over the course of this season, you ask? This was the stat that jumped out to me. I saw this courtesy of the folks over at Secret Base and Pro Football Reference. Through 17 weeks this season, Joe Burrow has 15 touchdown passes of 30-plus yards, many of which have gone to Jamar Chase. That's as many as Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes combined this season. He has been lights out, going yard all day long, and it helped them get probably the biggest win of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jamar Chase is a human cheat code. The guy's first touchdown, I mean, that was the slant that he took to the house, and he separated from everybody that was in that Chiefs secondary, so I was one of those people that was on board with the Bengals taking Sewell with the fifth overall pick. I couldn't have been more wrong. Jamar Chase was absolutely the guy, and Joe Burrow has been going to him early and often, and that's why we're seeing the Cincinnati Bengals at the top of the AFC North for the first time since 2015.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is where you can get at us. That was the top five of the NFL weekend that was. Chris Canty will have you covered on the bottom five coming up. Remind you guys, tune into ESPN Daily, the podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Would you trust Baker Mayfield to be your team's next starting quarterback? We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty were presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Get at us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99. And Gojo, off of the Monday night game, we got to have this Baker Mayfield conversation. Aaron Goldhammer dropped the hammer on us when he told us that he doesn't expect Baker Mayfield to be the starting quarterback in 2022 in Cleveland. We both raised an eyebrow when he came out with that one, and it leads us to a bigger conversation about quarterbacks that came into this season with huge question marks, one being Baker Mayfield, of course, but then also a couple of quarterbacks in the NFC East in Daniel Jones with the New York Giants and Jalen Hurts with the Philadelphia Eagles. And so we feel like at the end of the regular season, this is the perfect time to take inventory and actually go through those quarterbacks and give them a grade of pass, fail, or incomplete. You down to do that?
Yeah, I think it's the right time, Chris, because we identified, and I believe like at the beginning of the season, we looked specifically at these three. Because if you look at how they were positioned in their franchise, right? Baker Mayfield, the Browns had loaded up resources last year, and it had gone really well. But we knew he was right in that area. Lamar Jackson, him, Josh Allen, as guys that were looking for those new deals. And when Josh Allen got his and Lamar and Baker didn't get theirs, we said, all right, we got to prove it, you're a guy there. We got Jalen Hurts, who's staring down 3 first-round draft picks for the Eagles next year, who is a second-round draft pick, who knows you're not owed all that as an NFL player. And then, of course, we throw Daniel Jones in there, the former 6th overall pick on that Giants team that we've talked about once or twice on this show here. So, Chris, I want to start off like this. Of those 3 quarterbacks, is there anyone you're giving a passing grade to for this season?
Yeah, we have to give a passing grade to Jalen Hurts. We did not expect the Philadelphia Eagles to be a team that was in playoff contention, but with the win over the Washington football team in D.C., they punched their ticket to the tournament. So I think we have to look at Jalen Hurts through a different lens. This is a quarterback that's good enough to get you to the dance. And so if you put the requisite talent around him, if you infuse this roster with the kind of players that the draft capital would suggest that they're capable of doing in this coming offseason, then there's no reason to think that Jalen Hurts can't continue to improve, can't continue to develop as the future at the starting quarterback position for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think you got to give him a greater pass, because this was an Eagles team that nobody had expectations for. A rookie head coach, a quarterback that had only started 4 games in the season prior as a rookie. Everybody had question marks about what the Philadelphia Eagles were. This was a stepping stone year, a rebuilding year, and yet they find themselves in the playoffs. So I think you have to put a passing grade on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he's a passing grade for me, Chris, and I don't even think it's still that he can develop into something great long term, but I think the passing grade is he can be a starter in the NFL. And that was the thing that we had questions about. What Jalen Hurts proved this year, I think, is that he can be the exact same guy in the NFL that he was in college. Meaning, you're going to be able to find guys that are more talented. You're going to be able to find guys that put up gaudier stats. But as we just finished talking about what went down with Antonio Brown, you are not going to find many guys as consistent and steady as Jalen Hurts. And you know, Chris, that's the most valuable currency at times you can have in pro sports.
Well, you know, especially with that franchise in recent memory, winning a Super Bowl with your backup quarterback, Nick Foles, as the guy, like, they know the value of having a really strong supporting cast with solid quarterback play. And I think that's something that Jalen Hurts can provide you, especially if you can keep that salary cap number down. And under a rookie contract, they're capable of doing that. So, yeah, Jalen Hurts is a pass. I'm with you. You gave the analogy earlier, you said you can leave the harbor, but you're not burning the boats with Jalen Hurts.
Exactly. So we're at that spot with him passing grade. Baker Mayfield's got to get the failing grade for this season, right? There's no other way around that. He went in betting on himself. We love to see players do that, but unfortunately, between injury and then execution, all of it went haywire for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's really bad with him right now, and I don't know how they necessarily get that program back on track with him as the starting quarterback, seeing as how the locker room is split on him. So you have to put a failing grade on Baker Mayfield, because this was supposed to be the year that they not only won a playoff game, but the Cleveland Browns could be true championship contenders. Like, you're thinking them being a Final Four team or potentially making a run and being in L.A. for the Super Bowl. And the wheels have come off the rail. I mean, the wheels have come off the wagon when it comes to this team. Things have gone off the rail. And Baker Mayfield, instead of being a stabilizing force for the franchise, has proven to be a disruptive force and a polarizing figure in that locker room.
Yep, he's been all around in that way, which left us with Daniel Jones, Chris, and I feel like it's fitting, because we're up against it right now, that this is probably the guy, would you agree, the incomplete grade of the group?
Yeah, he gets the incomplete grade. I think the Giants are going to be forced to stay with him for lack of options, and it just makes sense because he's going into his 4th year. So Daniel Jones, he's got to cut down on the turnovers. That's still an issue, but he's also got to produce. And this Giants offense is one of the worst in all of football.
Young quarterbacks trying to grade out and just finish class. And Lord knows, Chris and I both love a good pass-fail class here. So we make it nice and easy for the guys going forward. Coming up next, though, nothing easy about the road ahead for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Did they make the right move by allowing Ben Roethlisberger to play it out in Pittsburgh? Next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.